Good morning to each of you. I'm very blessed to be here with you all. Thankful that I get Mark. May we, this week, God help us to take steps forward to being more like Jesus. That's our prayer. My prayer for myself and my prayer for you all, that God would bless us in that way and work in our hearts. Well, I better jump right in here lest I not be timely too. I guess everyone got one of these. How many of you were able to get a little time enough to at least start on some of that? Some of you, thank you. Good. Well, we're going to go over that, and I'm going to call from you here today a little bit. Did it all make sense? Was there enough explanation? Almost, barely, some of you? Okay, one of you came up to me yesterday and asked a couple questions, and I thought, oh, I hope it made enough sense. I just wanted you to get a bit of an overview of Matthew 13, because we're going to use Matthew 13 as a bit of our base text for this week. And so we'll be referring and going through Matthew 13 quite a bit. Kingdom-conscious Christians. It leaves things fairly broad, honestly. It would allow for a very broad, that title allows for a lot of broad topics. And the way I decided to narrow it down was to use Matthew 13. So as you went through there, you got a little feel, possibly, of what we're going to be looking at this week. And we'd like to dig into these parables, spend some time in these parables, and see, use this to define a kingdom-conscious Christian. If you just think with me a little bit, today's going to be a whole conglomeration of opening thoughts and foundational principles, all right? So, if you want, I'm going to come back and refer to this part that you filled in. But if you want, you can start here and fill it in. And then later on, I will show you how to fill in this diagram, because I want to use this diagram to help us make application this week. And then the A, B, and C will be what you do after the message. It's something that you can do to ponder, and you'll use this personal application diagram to answer the questions that we'll have, and you will fill out A, B, and C yourself. So if you leave a little room there, don't use that for some notes, but just use the one, the page that says title and some notes. And some of you are prolific note takers. That's wonderful. You don't have to use this. Those of you who are not prolific note takers, note I looked a little more on this side. It's very common, maybe some of you here, but over here, especially us young men, we have to put forth a little more effort. And I'm going to encourage you to take notes. I've talked to many young men, and it's very common. Well, notes kind of distract me. I can't focus on what's being said. I would encourage you to practice more then, because it's amazing what we forget. And when you write something down, it's harder to forget, and you can refer back to it. So that's my little encouragement. Maybe some of you have heard me say that before. Okay, so a few foundational thoughts here this morning. The title, if you want to write a title down, is The Secrets of Kingdom-Conscious Christians. I'm going to use this term in all of my titles and quite frequently, Kingdom-Conscious Christians. And the way I have shortened it in my notes is I write KCC, because it gets a long term, just Kingdom-Conscious Christians. And so if you see my notes, I have KCC as a short. So The Secrets of Kingdom-Conscious Christians, if we can just take your minds, you know what Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 12 says. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the next part, let's say it together. May thy kingdom come, and may thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the core heart and prayer of kingdom-conscious Christians. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many milliseconds does Gabriel hesitate in heaven when he knows the will of the Father? 0 milliseconds of hesitation? Michael, I would like thus and thus done. And forgive me, I'm picturing it in a very human way. And I believe it's far beyond any human way. And so I don't know if there's really dialogue. We have dialogue in Revelation, so I'm going to use the opportunity to create some dialogue. So is it really like that? I don't know. But Michael, could God say, I want thus and thus to happen. Okay, God, well, let me think about that. If I actually think it almost feels preposterous to say such a thing. He would never do that. Right. Michael, I want thus and thus to happen. Happening. May your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That is a massive prayer. May your kingdom come, Father, here on earth. That's our prayer. As kingdom conscious Christians, that is the core, one core central prayer of ours. May your kingdom come here on earth and be done just as it is in heaven. That's what a kingdom conscious Christian prays and lives for. I used to like the term kingdom of God more than kingdom of heaven. Just personal sentiment. You talk with people and sometimes they use the term kingdom of heaven and they get the idea, oh, okay, you're talking about heaven. And so that doesn't pertain to me down here. That's in the future when it'll all be euphoric and perfect and beautiful. But we're still on earth. So when you use kingdom of heaven, it kind of gets relegated. Oh, well, that's not really for me. And so I tended to go more toward the kingdom of God. But as I've meditated on it the past few years, I have more and more loved this little picture that God gives us when he says kingdom of heaven. And I'm not trying to differentiate between the two, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. I'm seeing them as one and the same. Matthew uses kingdom of heaven. Mark, Luke and John use kingdom of God more. But I like this little term, kingdom of heaven. That's what we're trying to do. That is the call of a kingdom conscious Christian, is to say, Lord, how can I make a little bit more of heaven here on earth? How do I do that, Lord? How do I do that? This morning, I'm getting up. I'm getting into my everyday clothes. I'm going to do my everyday things, whatever day is before you. And to say, Father, I long that through my life today, a little bit of heaven will be here on earth. Isn't that a big prayer? May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Some people fight long and hard for their aspirations. Brother Barry shared with us about a boxer, and we could go through story after story. Some of these people put forth effort, a lot of effort, for their cause, to make happen what they want to happen. And as kingdom conscious Christians, we want to make happen what God wants to happen, and that is heaven on earth. So just take that as an opening thought. We'll continue to define this term, kingdom conscious Christians, a little more. But just take that as a basis here. We're going to need to move along. The secrets of kingdom conscious Christians. I want to meditate on that a bit. Okay, first, the kingdom conscious Christian, this term, I'm just coining a term. You know, the Apostle Paul coined some terms. And I have them listed out here. We won't take the time to go through them. He uses the word babes, baby Christians. Well, I guess first we could look at the term Christian. That term Christian wasn't even first used. And after a while, they got called Christians. They are the ones that followed Christ. Then the Apostle Paul's writing and he uses the term baby Christian. Later on, other times he uses mature Christian. He uses carnal Christian. He uses spiritual Christian, a whole bunch of terms that he's trying to show one aspect of Christianity or an issue in Christianity. And so he adds a term to Christian. We also find, and we'll look at this some more later in the week, he talks about 30-fold Christians and he talks about 100-fold Christians. We also have a little term that I love. I'm sure some of you have grabbed onto it, too, in the Acts of the Apostles, where it says, these men who have hazarded their lives for the sake of Christ. Isn't that a beautiful little term? You think that'll ever be posted over your life? Brother so-and-so, one who has hazarded his life for the sake of Christ. What they wanted was they wanted to add a term to Christian, so to speak. And they wanted to pull out a specific aspect of these men's lives and say, brethren, listen to them. They're not people that are messing around. They've hazarded their lives. They're serious about things. And they've hazarded their lives. They're life-hazarding Christians. And so we're using this term this week, kingdom-conscious Christians, because I want to define. I want to show some specific aspects of true Christianity. And sometimes, you know how it is, terms just get watered down. And so that's what we're trying to do this week, is to lift up a term, no new doctrine, no new theology, but a little bit of a new term that we can attach some principles to and some aspects of real Christianity to as we dig into Matthew 13. Kingdom conscious Christians. So I would like to we're going to try to look at three things here this morning. Number one, secrets of kingdom conscious Christians. Seeing the secrets and applying the secrets. Three different things. Secrets of the kingdom conscious Christian. Seeing the secrets and applying the secrets. I would like first, as we look at the secrets of a kingdom conscious Christian, I would like some of you to give me some feedback of some secrets that you found as you went through Matthew 13. I had you divide the parables out. We're going to focus on these seven parables. And divide them out and then show some main key points that you feel Jesus was wanting to get across as he preached and shared these principles. So I'm opening it to you. Let's get a few different people, seven different people. What's the first parable we find? Someone just speak it out. What's the first parable we find?
The sower.
The parable of the sower. What's the second parable we find? The wheat and the tares. Okay. The third parable. The mustard seed. Fourth parable. Leaven. The parable of leaven. Fifth parable. The hid treasure. Sixth. Pearl of great price. And number seven. The net. That's right. So those are our seven parables. Now in the first parable, what is a principle? You felt like one of the teachings, and I mentioned something about, I forget what I said in my book, at least one or one or two, usually in the parables. In this first parable, I pulled out four. I know we could probably pull out 25 from each of them. But I'm just trying to get some main ones. But I did get four. I feel like there's four distinct soils. I feel there's six soils, but we'll look at that later. Four distinct points there. But anyway, what is one of the points? And again, there's no perfect answer here, so just share. What is one of the truths that Jesus is trying to get across to us? One of the secrets of being a kingdom-conscious Christian that we get out of the sower? One of you just share something with me here. I'm going to write some things on the board here. So go ahead, anyone. Good. The heart condition of every man determines how fruitful he will be. I agree. Okay, I have three colors. What I'm going to do is as we go down here, I'm going to try to put these secrets that we're finding into four categories, and we're going to try to go over them in the next 4 days after today. So that's why I was looking for my fourth color. I don't see one, so I will have a couple of colors that overlap. Okay, the heart condition. Someone else, what's some other things you get out of the sower? Let's get a few from you. Good. God's word is being sown. It's going out there. Just some more. Be careful how you hear. And when he says here, that doesn't mean in here and out here. That means here when you hear. And Jesus makes a point of that, and that's what it is, seeing the secrets. We'll see if we get to that. When you actually hear when you're hearing and you see when you're seeing. There's a difference between seeing and seeing. That makes sense? We'll get to that here in a minute. Good. Someone else. Parable of the sower. I'm sorry?
Don't allow other things
to to distract. Excellent. Okay, I'm going to write down some of the things that I came up with. And I would like most of you to write these down because we'll be referring back to them. And they're in my words. They're some of what you've said. Some of you haven't said anything. But maybe I'll start over here. But we have, I'm going to put down, I believe, nine different points out of all seven parables. So we have number one. I wrote this. Kingdom conscious Christians. And this is going to take a little time for me to write, and it's going to take a little time for you to write, but I want us to do it, because I want, this is some foundational things. Kingdom conscious Christians. Grasp to hear and can you read that? Is that too small? I have so much I want to write up here. Can most of you read that? Okay. Kingdom conscious Christians. Grasp to hear and understand the word. Constantly growing. To me, when I look at that parable of the sower, I see that someone who really grasps this parable is going to say, you know what? I'm going to hear and understand and grow when the word of God comes to me. That will happen to a kingdom conscious Christian. Kingdom conscious Christians will do that. Number two, kingdom conscious Christians are faithful through tribulation and persecution. Kingdom conscious Christians are faithful through tribulation and persecution. They are. They're faithful. Trials come, difficulties come, problems come, temptations come, and they keep going. Right? There's not too stony of ground, and the roots have taken root and really dug in, and they keep on growing. And they keep on being wheat. Number three, we have kingdom conscious Christians, as alluded to also, are not distracted by the world, its goals, stuff, and pleasures. Kingdom conscious Christians are not distracted by the world, its goals, its stuff, and its pleasures. There's thorns. And we'll look at this also. There are clearly thorns. And these thorns have a goal, and it's to choke you. That's the goal of the thorns. But a kingdom conscious Christian is not distracted by those thorns, and he's not choked out. Number four, kingdom conscious Christians strive forth more and more. And we'll look at that when he talks about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I believe kingdom conscious Christians strive to bring forth more and more fruit. They're not just sitting there saying, yeah, I'll float along. I want to be a good Christian. Don't want to do bad things. Want to do good things, you know, and just, no. There's something inside them that says, Lord, I want to be faithful and bring forth my 30-fold. But if possible, Lord, can I stick out another ear and bring forth 30 more and make it 60? Is it possible, Lord? Help me, Father, is the cry to bring heaven on earth. All right, number five. Number five, we're going to go to the wheat and the tares, and I'm going to pull out two there. What did a couple of you put down for the wheat and the tares? Some thoughts. Good. That great day of sorting is coming. The judgment is coming. Kingdom conscious Christians, remember, we're not trying to get a ticket to heaven and stay out of hell. But I sometimes worry that we have reacted to that and we say, well, let's just not even think about it and not realize there's a judgment coming. It's good for us. We heard about fear, brother, yesterday. It's good for a little holy fear, a lot of holy fear to grab us. And we realize judgment day is coming. Someone else. Jesus said, disciples, stay in the... What, Lord? Yes, disciples. Stay in the midst of the tares. But don't... That's a huge call of a kingdom conscious Christian. One more. Okay. Good. That really, there's some similarities. Is that tare? Is that a wheat? Most of us have been out in fields or gardens. Is that a flower or is that a weed? Is that wheat or is that a tare? And sometimes it's hard to distinguish. Give it time, it's obvious, isn't it? Number 5, kingdom conscious Christians. Good, it's what we already heard here. No, they are left. In the world with a purpose, but, and I'm not influenced. Good, that's what we already heard. Kingdom conscious Christians know they are left in the world with a purpose, not accidentally, on purpose, in the midst of the tares, but they're not influenced by it. And if you note, red is starting to match each other a little bit. Right? I'm going to, well, let's just keep going here. And number six, kingdom conscious Christians live with the consciousness of eternal heaven. They live with that consciousness. There's a separation coming. There's heaven and there's hell. And I realize I don't want to promote, and I think you'll see that as we go along. I don't want to promote this idea of, oh, yes, let's quick get saved so we can put a, we all know these terms, excuse my terms here, but put a ticket to heaven in our back pocket and then live life like we want. I don't think you'll find that in kingdom conscious Christians. But something that will be there is they are eternity conscious, and that motivates them. Okay, the mustard seed in the leaven. Give me some thoughts on the mustard seed in the leaven. Faith starts small. Thank you. Yep. Steady growth. Excellent. Same kind of principle. What was referred to? Steady growth. Sharpie highlighter. Nope. Won't work. Okay. Good. One more. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me see here. Let's just do this here. Number 7. Kingdom conscious Christians continually grow until they are consumed. Kingdom conscious Christians continually grow until they are consumed with the kingdom. And I realize we could take this also, the kingdom of God grows. We could go into places where the kingdom of God is going. We're putting forth effort. I didn't say a whole lot about myself. We just were sent up to Vermont to work with a church plant up there. And we don't see much of the kingdom of God in Vermont. We could also look at this parable that way. And so just a few of us are there, and we're looking to permeate and slowly influence some wheat in the midst of tares and see the kingdom of God grow. We could look at it that way also. Again, as I said, we could pull dozens of truths out of this. I'm going to just pull these. The hid treasure, some thoughts on the hid treasure. I felt like I had to combine some, so... Hid treasure. What are some principles and some truths in there? Give. Good. Excellent. You have to choose what you value. What is valuable to you? To a kingdom conscious Christian. In this parable, it's obvious what is valued. That treasure. We want to look at that. Someone else. I'm sorry. Joyful selling out. I like that. And we'll meditate on that also. Joyful selling out. These are the terms I put. And again, there's a whole bunch packed into these sentences, and we'll dig them apart as the week progresses here. What is my time? I'm sorry. Somebody have it right off the top of their head? 9:20. Kingdom conscious Christians, number 8. Kingdom conscious Christians, like God, use all their resources as servants to one goal, the kingdom. Kingdom conscious Christians, like God, use all their resources as servants to one goal. Let's move on here. The next parable. This here, number 8, this here is supposed to be green, all right? Green out of black and red, I'm not sure. But if you could separate that color there a little bit. The pearl of great price. Some thoughts on that. Good. Say that again. Everything that a person once considered valuable. What do people of the world consider valuable? Things and stuff. That's all they have. Because they're not eternal conscience. Okay. And I believe we need to use that. What I did was I combined those two parables. I feel like there's a lot of truths in there, and we'll look at both of them together, but I combined those two parables in this point. Kingdom conscious Christians like God, and again, as I said, there's a whole bunch packed into these sentences, and we'll tear it apart as the week goes along. They use all their resources as servants to one goal, the kingdom of heaven. All right, the net. Our last point here. The net. Some points from the net. Good. Good. Every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. Right? Good. Some others. There's a judgment day hid down inside this. Someone else? One more? Good. Kingdom-conscious Christians live their lives in light. Kingdom-conscious Christians live their lives in the light of judgment day. I think Jesus wanted us to see that. Judgment day is coming. And he wanted us to live our lives in light of that. Okay, here's 9 points. Again, I'm going to group the black, not this black, all right? And we're going to look at that one day. I'm going to group the red. We're going to look at that another day. And I'm going to group the blue. So we're going to try to look at these parables and then dig into these statements and these parables and see, Lord, what were you trying to teach us? Jesus said, this here is the secrets of kingdom conscious Christians. Now, seeing the secrets, turn with me to Matthew 13 here. Matthew 13 and verse 13. Now let's look at seeing the secrets. Jesus shared a lot of tremendous truths. And I realize that we'll dig in and get some more truths. And these are just some base sentences. There's a tremendous amount in these parables. And I believe Jesus had the heart and he had the burden. He wanted his disciples. He wanted the people of God. He wanted a group of kingdom conscious Christians to grasp these principles and live them. And he said this in Matthew chapter 13. And they were saying, Master, why do you speak in parables? He said, therefore I speak to them in parables. Matthew 13:13. Because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither. They see, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really hear. And they don't under. Is that possible? It's very, very possible. And you know, that's a bit of a burden on my heart this week. How can I help us all, myself included, really see? See past the interesting little story. See past what just the words are saying. See past just a field with wheat and tares. And see beyond it with the eyes of our heart and get a glimpse into the depths of it and say, yes, Lord, I understand. And that affects. That's what I want for us. We want to see these secrets and really, truly see them. There are two levels of seeing, Jesus is saying here. There's seeing, right? There's seeing and there's seeing. There's hearing and there's really hearing. And Jesus was very burdened about this. And he said, listen, disciples, some many people will hear and they don't really hear. Can we, you know, I remember hearing statements as sitting as a young person in Bible schools. I remember a statement a couple different times. And the statements were something like this. If only two of you will really grasp what I'm saying here, it'll change your life. You ever heard those statements? If only a few of you. And I sat on the edge of my seat and I thought, Lord, and I was sitting in a room of 200 or however many, only two. There was something that was in the heart of the preacher when he said that. And there was something in the heart of our Lord Jesus when he said this. And I believe he's pleading with us, brothers, sisters, grasp what is being said, wrestle with it, beg God to help you see the truth of it and what it really means so that it grasps your life and you grasp it and it revolutionizes you. Do you see when you see? Do you know the secrets? Do you understand the secrets? Do you really see them? In John, I'm just going to refer to it here. In John 16:16, Jesus says, "A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Okay, does that make sense? A little while and you won't see me. Okay, you see me here. A little while and you won't see me, but then you'll see me, because I go to the Father. So Jesus is saying, I'm leaving and you won't see me, but then, same principle here. He's using this word see again. Do you see him? Do you see these secrets? Are we going to grasp this week and really, really see them? I believe that's on the heart of our Lord Jesus when he says, you won't see me, but then you. And they were filled with the Spirit of God. And there was a knowing and a seeing and a hearing that happened in their lives that they didn't even get as deeply when Jesus walked with them here on the earth. And we also know, we'll refer to this again, one of my favorite scriptures in light of this seeing, truly seeing principle. We all know this little, and again, we'll look at it again. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal." We don't look at what can be seen. Try to convince someone of the world. I'm seeing something unseeable. Try to tell a scientist that, or an atheist, or things that are unseeable. They don't see them. They see their stuff and their things. We see far beyond. Kingdom conscious Christians see far beyond and see way deeper, and they see it. Could I plead with us each here this week to be asking God, God, please help me to see beyond the seen and truly see. What is a kingdom conscious Christian? What are the secrets? And let's beg God that he will allow us to see in our seeing. Number three, we looked at these secrets. I mentioned a little bit what I think Jesus was trying to say about really seeing these secrets. And number three, applying the secrets. This is your little diagram. In your box, turn to your page there with your box. I want you to draw something like this. And as you all know, I'm just going to draw a basic little diagram. Put it up a little bit higher here. Okay, your box is that you're drawing in. Just draw just like this. I'm going to put A there, B here, and C there. And down in your questions, A, where am I at? Where? And I wrestled with that a little. Maybe we should say, where does God want me to be? Whatever, but just take the heart behind it. And then C, how? As we go through this week, that's why I have a whole page there, because I feel that page is very important and I want to help us each process. What is God saying to me? And I want to give you a basis on which to process what you're hearing. And it's not like you have to just do this with me. I believe this is a principle. And we'll actually look into this more the last day. But this is a principle that a kingdom conscious Christians, this is what they do. They maybe don't think about it in this graph. They maybe don't ask these exact questions, but this is their life. This is the way they live. They use this graph, again, whether they think of this graph or not, but this is a key, I believe, to application. Kingdom conscious Christians will assess and say, Lord, where am I at? That's what Brother Leonard asked us to do after the message from Brother Barry yesterday. What's on your heart? Is God saying something? And you are supposed to figure out. You're supposed to ask God, pray, ponder, meditate, wrestle. God, where am I? Then we also heard, where do I want to be? Should be, need to be, God want me to be. You can term it differently if you want. But I'm going to leave it like this. Where do I want to be? What is it that I've heard today? What is it that I heard in the message yesterday that God is saying, son, daughter, do you see higher ground? There's higher ground up there. Most of the time, we don't move from point A to point B instantly. God does miracles. Things happen. He revolutionizes the inside of a man, and sometimes he allows that to so permeate and affect the outside, there's instant change. And we all know the common illustration, and I'll use it. Sometimes God says a man gets born again, and he realizes, I'm a smoker. I don't want to be a smoker. And God takes him, boom, and he's done. Never wants it again. Sometimes that happens. I also know many people who it didn't happen quite like that. God gave him power, but there was temptations. So that's just a simple illustration, and I realize, praise God, that's not an issue to us. But there are many issues that are. Point A, where am I at? Point B, where do I want to be? And usually, we need to say, God, C, how do I get there? What are the steps that I can take to begin working from point A to point B? Do you see this process? I think this is a common way that kingdom-conscious Christians apply principles that they hear and see. Lord, I just heard something. Okay, and I realize we went flying over these, but this is what I want you to do. Hopefully you wrote these down. And you, if you can find some time to get on your knees, you get on your knees and you say, all right, Lord, where am I at? And I realize we'll begin to wrestle through these slowly. But you begin to do it on your knees also. Lord, where am I at? Where am I at in light of... And you go down through these. Where am I at? And you take in your little booklet, and that's where, after your application principle, it's just your personal answers to the questions from the diagram, A, B, and C. Now, hopefully this makes sense to you. There's A, B, and C, and I just left some blank spots. Write it out. Sometimes the energy and effort to come up with the proper words and actually write it out helps us process. So I'd encourage you, take time, if you can come up with time, take time to get on your knees and say, Lord, where am I at with what I've heard today? Where do I want to be? And then you've got to process again. What's God saying in my heart and life? What's His Word speaking to me? And then comes an all-important one that I fear too many times we're a little bit weak on. How do I get there? If I just realize my weaknesses and I pray that God will take me to where I want to be, that's a benefit. But if you'll begin to wrestle in a daily practical way, how do I get from where I'm at to where I want to be, point C? If we'll begin to wrestle, how do I get there? Lord, are there some things I can practically input into my life or practically get rid of or practically take steps towards? Is there something I can put my hands on and say, Lord, I realize I can't change myself. I realize it takes the work of God for this to actually happen. It takes the work of God in a heart. And again, I'm stepping into our last day. We'll look at some of this deeper. But I want you to grasp at least the basics of it. Lord, I realize it takes your work. But how can I join in and row my boat along with your work in my heart? How can I begin? There came a time in my life when I changed. I had the concept that I knew I was at A and I wanted to be at B, but the concept was, we're Christians. God changes us. We'll slowly grow. And I began to realize, Mickey, it's time for you to pick up your oars and thought and practical nitty-gritties to where you want to be. It was revolutionary to me. God saves me. I'm so thankful. In my immaturity, as a little boy, and I didn't understand a lot, but I got on my knees beside my bed, and I said, I don't remember the exact words, but my heart, God, I... And He came and washed me and changed me. Then I started floating along. I changed. There were some changes. My parents, my siblings recognized some changes that started happening to me. But a couple years later, I started realizing there's a point C. And I didn't, and not in those exact words. But my heart began to realize, Mickey, it's time for you to pursue and quit riding on the direction and influence of only your parents and your church. And you begin to be a puller instead of being pulled. And I believe C can help us with that. Lord, how do you want me to get there? How do I move from point A? I just wanted us to go over some of these foundational things. Here's some of the secrets that we're going to dig into in the parables. And let's remember, number two, to see those secrets, ask God that we could really see them. And then Number three, I wanted us to see this principle, because I want you to use this principle as we go through the week, this little diagram of how we apply the principles that we're hearing. I want us to see that. And one last closing scripture here, Matthew 6:19. I referred to the Lord's Prayer there, but Matthew 6:19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." You know these verses, Matthew 6:19 and 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I feel like many times we focus on the concept of lay not up. But let's remember, Jesus also said, lay up. We are supposed to lay something up. And I feel like if we take that concept as we look at these secrets of a kingdom conscious Christianity, and we take these secrets and we realize laying up treasure and kingdom conscious Christianity, just we'll find are very similar and one and the same. And you just watch that as we unfold this next week, and we realize as we begin to apply these principles, kingdom conscious Christianity has a heart that says, "Lord, how do I bring a little heaven on earth?" And as we pursue seeing heaven develop on earth, we'll also realize we're laying up treasure in heaven. It's kind of the same principle. And we'll see how these things weave together as we go along. Can we pray? Father, will you help us as we seek to understand your word and your heart? What do you want for us here on planet Earth, Lord? What do you want for us? Help us to see it, and help us, Lord, to be laborers to see your kingdom come and your heaven. Help us, Father. Hearts, open lives. I love these.